Before we start the first episode, just a heads up, this episode ran a little long. Our normal episodes are not going to run this long. All right, just giving you the warning. Here we go. Welcome to the first episode of the Pleb Underground YouTube show. We cover Hopium, we cover the shitcoin corner, some history of bad money. We've got some great guests coming up today joining us for the first show. We've got my co-host, who's going to be revealed in a bit, and we also have fellow pleb from his island, his secret island, Pirate Beach Bum. Pirate, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, congratulations. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, look, before we get on over to the to the shitcoin corner and the Hopium stuff, I think it's tradition. We got to take a look at the numbers, all right? And let's dive right into it. The numbers are brought to us by timechainstats.com. I believe that is Ant from the Autism Council. I believe that's his work, but anyways, let's dive into it. At the time of this recording, the block height is 748,427. The total public lightning capacity, 1,368.83. And Moscow time, 43:09. Ah, it's nice. It's nice to give the stats once again. It's a good feeling. Anyways, before we reveal... the mystery co-host, I've got to play a little teaser video here. This is from fellow pleb Uncle Jim. All right, so let's take a look at this video.
Vincenzo Amore, and I am a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that. And this right here, this is Big Cass, and he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that.
What's up? Ah! It's me! What's up, Phil?
All right, there we go. You guys see it? That's our new mystery co-host. That's right. We've got Walton from the Bitcoin Council of Autism. Get ready. The Pleb Underground is about to get very, very crazy. Thank you. By the way, thank you so much for joining me as co-host. We are going to have a great time, and obviously we're going to start diving right into it, man. Really glad for you to join me on this.
It's so exciting. It's exciting to be here. The plebs are the true signal, and we're just a show trying to refocus people's attention back to the pleb shit, because they're doing the real work, yeah? So listen up. We've got some stuff for you.
Yes, we do. And I just want to point out that Walton's looking very sexy.
Hey, look, Bitcoin change, it makes you change many things in your life. Like, I've been working the last year, you know, like.
You've been working out.
It's hot here, man. Like, you know, what are you going to do?
All right, well, look, guys, you know what's about to happen here. Okay, before we get to Pirate talking about the Pleb Underground, Walton, you and I, we've got to dig through some garbage because, I mean, I haven't done this in a couple of weeks, and, what are we looking at here? You just disappeared on me. There we go. Yeah, the sticker?
We're trying to do the sticker, yeah.
There we go. Closer to your face so everybody can see it. Yeah, there you go. That's awesome. Okay, guys. This is what we're going to do. We're diving into a new segment, which is really like the fail. Okay. It's going to be called the Shitcoin Corner. And let's go take a look because it's been a minute since I've dived into some garbage. And yeah, it's time for some dumpster diving. Here we go. This feels right, you know, that's what this is. Here we go. So this is the first tweet from Rothmus, right? This is, and I'm going to just preface this by saying, we're just getting gaslit. Plain and simple, this is gaslighting. The Biden economy, this is a tweet from @LaurenChen. The Biden economy has been so successful that it's now causing a recession is an actual thing that someone who claims to be an economist is saying. And who is she retweeting? She's retweeting Paul Krugman, right? The person who also said that the internet wouldn't amount to anything more than the impact that the fax machine had. So here we go. What did Paul say? The problem may be that the Biden economy boomed too much, feeding inflation, and that it now needs to cool off, which may involve a recession. That's right, people. We need to be convinced that they need to cause a recession to fix all of the ridiculous money printing that went on. Anyways, before we move on to the, because we've got a couple of fails, Walton, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, this guy thought we were going to be communicating by facts, but actually we're here to communicate facts. So, like, fuck that guy. Like, he's wrong. Like, he's been wrong about a bunch of stuff. Like, unfortunately, and I used to be, you know, someone who thought the Nobel Prizes were really, really positive things that were fairly awarded and all this sort of stuff. But like many other, you know, academic institutions, they've been infiltrated by fiat incentives, and I don't know. I think apparently you can have a Nobel Prize and still not know anything about your subject.
It's about the creds, my dude. Like that's what it is, right? Actually have to know anything. All you had to do was memorize what you were told to memorize and then regurgitate it on command. You know, like that's pretty much to me what I've seen. Pirate, any thoughts on this before we move on to the next dumpster fire?
I mean, that dude is, he's just has a history of bad takes. And so this is just another one, but there's a bigger problem here. And it's like, we've always known we've been lied to. Like we've always kind of known it. It's always, you know, it's always just been there kind of in the background, but now it's just become so blatant. And it's like, when people say stuff like this, it's ridiculous. You can't even take them seriously. And like, it's just, and not to tangent on another subject, but it's just like this inflation act or whatever that they're just doing. And they're telling us how it's going to help inflation. And what are they doing? They're printing money. And it's like, it's the same exact lies, bullshit narratives. And it's just embarrassing. And it's unfortunate that we as the plebs or the serfs of our great countries that we were from, we're the ones who are the victims. And it's frustrating. And guys like this are literally just the mouthpieces for their resumes, you know, and that's what it is.
It's pure gaslighting, you know, like it's and that's what it. And to your point, it's incredibly frustrating and you almost feel helpless. Sadly, you know, sadly, you sit there and you feel at least that was my feeling for a very long time before Bitcoin. You know, before Bitcoin, I felt somewhat helpless because I understood I had only a couple of different vehicles that I could use, you know, to try to evade all of this ridiculous money printing shenanigans and all of this other, what they pretend to be, you know, I guess like economic mechanisms. But at the end of the day, they have no idea what they're doing. And before Bitcoin, right, you had stocks, you have real estate. You know, you and every single one of those things, as we've shown, they do have strings attached. Not saying that they're bad investments, just saying that they do have strings attached. So anyway,
I think we're all getting old, like we're all getting older, number one. But most importantly, I feel like because we've gone down the rabbit hole of Bitcoin, we're a lot more aware of money. And I believe that the majority of society is really has no money. So like, it doesn't matter how much I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter to these people if they print a ton of money because they're just getting by, you know, they're just getting by day by day by day.
And also Pirate, like when it comes to the printing, like a lot of that wealth ends up in stored in real estate. And the best thing governments, well, not best, but like, it's because it's bad, but like a very clever thing governments did with regards to real estate was to essentially convince that like everyone's getting richer as the price of their property goes up and up, like when actually a lot of that increase is just due to like monetary debasement and they're not really able to buy more. Like it you know, it's and then of course they inch up into these higher tax brackets, and so actually like real estate becomes like an increasing cost, but at the same time, because it's worth more, they then go, oh well, I can now take on more debt against my assets, right, that are now worth more, and they're further kind of like tied into the fiat system.
Yeah, and what you said is really interesting because my taxes on my property taxes went up 60%. That's ridiculous. And yeah, obviously the value of my home went up, but we have not done anything to it. And it's completely unethical of the whatever you want to call it, the tax bureau around where I live. But what they did is they knew that they were going to raise everyone's taxes at the peak of the market, because now the market's dropped. And because that was their one chance that they could squeeze more, blood out of the sponge, as you would call it, the off of all of our backs. And so it's interesting. Inflation is definitely hiding in these things. And then you have these mouthpieces like Krugman, who just shoots his mouth off, just covering for the regime. And it's like Phil said, you sometimes you just it hurts. You're just like, you realize, like, dude, we're effed, but thank God we have Bitcoin. Thank God. Like, it
Yes.
literally is our hedge against this.
I
All
saw a
right, here.
clip actually this week with, I think it was Bullard from the Fed on, I can't think which news show, but somewhat
Yeah.
like the guy basically said, like,
He
like
laughed.
can we kind of trust anything the Fed is saying? And he just got and the Fed Bullard guy just laughed in his face multiple times and was just like, well, like there's no accountability. Like, so what? It's ridiculous.
He actually said, "Don't you trust us?" And he laughed about it. I watched the clip. It was honestly, again, these things. You know what?
Clown world.
I never
Shout
thought
out
they would be
Ben.
exactly
Clown
clown
world.
world and gaslighting. Okay, all right. Let's move on to the next fail because we still have some a chunk to go through over here. Look, this kind of blew up today. We're recording on Sunday, so this kind of blew up today. Just for just trying to give people a reference point of what we're talking about. And I am talking about this right here. This was a tweet. Well, it's not the tweet that blew up, but it was kind of this thing about Plan B. So, with people who don't know about Plan B, which I'd be very surprised that they don't, Plan B made famous the S2F model, stock to flow.
I
And
wonder if his girlfriend calls him Plan B. That would be funny.
yeah, no, she
Oh,
definitely calls him Plan B. Okay. So here we go. Okay. So this is a great tweet from Andy at AP underscore Bitcoin. Full scam mode. I'd say bottom signal, but it's probably not. And what's he talking about? He's talking about this tweet from Plan B. The article on quant investing is almost ready. It includes a trading rule that outperforms. This is the key. This is the signal here, people. It outperforms buy and hold by 100x. You
scam.
can copy his trade here, sign up and deposit. I'm sorry, but like, I know that there's a lot of proponents for Plan B. I know that the hopium is awesome. Okay, I know it's amazing because we're even going to have a segment on hopium. So we know that hopium is important, but sometimes it's dangerous. And I think that this is one of those types of situations where, he sold people on a lot of S2F opium. And let's be honest, when you include massive variance in your model, we broke the model, but we never broke the model according to him. According to him, the model is never broken, and it can continue to move on. I personally don't care to debate whether it's broken or not, but the point is that you build a following, you then show them
Phil,
a
wait a minute.
service.
If you
Yes.
increase the standard deviation as much as they've increased it, I mean, it's anything will work. And I don't mean to be too crass here, but it's like when you have a really loose woman, and it's like
Uh-oh.
throwing a hot dog down a hallway. It just
It's
reminds me of
awful.
that.
Well, that's terrible.
This is the
Like,
pleb underground after all,
improve
okay?
improve the quality of your mate selection, sir.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so before we move on to the real meat and potatoes of the fail, Walton, any thoughts on Plan B very quickly? Or the model?
I mean, like,
Or both?
what is there really to say at this point? Like, I mean, if this guy really knows what he's doing, and like, there's no disrespect, like, 20 plebs out there, but like, why is Plan B selling hats? Like, if you're really like a shit hot trader, like, you don't really need to do merch, I think. Like, it doesn't add up. Like, I don't know. Like, again, like, maybe this is his plan B, like being a scammer. I don't know. Like, plan A was maybe some integrity. Plan B, scammer. Like, he t desperate times. Maybe he like, I don't know, like Breedloved himself or something. Like, like, I guess there's one positive, right? Is that he's referring to a KYC free exchange. rather than like, I don't know, like, you know, the kind of exchanges that are KYC where like they've actually got like quant desks trading against their own customers. Although I don't know, maybe Bybit do the same thing. I have literally no idea. But anyway, like, I don't know. He's a charlatan.
Yeah. You know what? Unfortunately, it's anybody that pulls this type of stuff, you need to be suspect. And, you know, I think it just gets even more cringe when clearly the model doesn't make sense. Yes, it may have made sense for a time, but the point is that, and this is something that we've said before as Bitcoiners, we've never had an asset like this throughout history. Why would you just try to put it on an existing model just for the sake of saying, look, I figured something out? I just don't buy it, you know? Like for me, it was just engagement farming. It was engagement farming this whole time until he could figure out how to monetize
Well,
his
I think it's
entire
not quite
audience.
like if how do, I can't think what the phenomena is called, but essentially, like if you convince enough people that something can be true, you could, like, it can actually cause it to be true. And I
Oh,
think
yeah.
there's an element of that there where, like, if enough people really did, you know, then it continues. But it's like at some like I think there were thousands of people out there that really believed in this model, and that then when like the model failed, they just went, oh, well, it's a joke then, isn't it? Like I mean, it's obviously you know, before long time before that, like it was clear, okay, well, this only takes into account supply, and actually it doesn't even take into account supply because it's only taking into account new miner supply. And of course, well, there's like 2-3 million coins on exchanges, so what do you really mean by supply? Like, and let alone, yeah, and then it doesn't account for demand at all, like not at all. So I don't know, like I like Plan B's articles. He's got some good articles about, like, about, you know, how, you know, previous things where stock to flow was important were at some point good stores of value, right? Like gold at some point. And he, like, the articles are quite good, but the again, like it's a model with like just insufficient input to begin with, whether it's like, I don't think there's enough input to actually declare the model valid at any point because it's just coincidental with that lack of sufficient input.
I mean, look, I think that that's really it. It's exactly it, there's not enough information, and that's why a model like that can seem correct for a time.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
Pirate, any thoughts on this before
Yes.
we move on to the big part of the fail?
I'll try to make it quick. You know, I wrote an article about this.
Yeah,
Stock to
I
Flow
do.
has been canceled. So this is bigger. This is the scam of influencing and what happened. So I believe in good faith, Plan B started down this road. I don't think at first it was like a nefarious kind of like, you know, hustle. But as things imploded, well, before we got there, just remember all of the influencers, all of the podcasters, Preston Fish, Saffredina, all of these people who prop this guy up. I mean, it's all in the article I wrote, and we can put it in the show notes, because there's screen grabs documenting all of the podcasters who basically shield this shit. And so they created this. They created and they helped him get this amass this huge following. And when everything imploded, they just kept making excuses. Oh, well, it's within the standard deviation. And like the standard deviation, you know, grew, I think it's upwards of 60%, maybe even 70, 80%. I don't even know at this point. So that's embarrassing if you have any statistical background. But what I think is the big takeaway here is that none of these people had the humility or just like to just say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. I was totally wrong about that. Actually, Bitcoin Tina today admitted publicly that he was wrong because he shilled this shit too. And so there was a lot of people, and these people are very good talkers. They're very, very eloquent, and they can use all kinds of technical terms, technical data points. And so they really sold this, but it imploded. And so here we are. There's still individuals out there who think that it's still in play. And so for him to have evolved into shilling links and now this is just him, you know, taking advantage of his hard work, but it also shows who he is because a normal person who has ethos would just
Bitcoin
say,
has
hey,
that, right? Bitcoin seems to reveal who people truly are.
Right. And so if you really look at it for what it is, it just shows who he is. But unfortunately, there's people out there who, you know, they drink the Kool-Aid. And when you're drunk on the Kool-Aid, you don't realize you're drunk on the Kool-Aid. And so we've seen guys like him come and go. And unfortunately, all we're seeing right now is him being very, not even being clever. He's just using the oldest trick in the book. It's monetize your following. So anyway, that's what this is. Don't get caught up in it. And if anything, you know, respond to him and call him out and say, why can't you just admit that you're wrong? Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I respect people who do that. It's no problem. I've been wrong. But just admit it and don't double down, triple down, quadruple down, and then start issuing another fucking, you know, trading course. And
right. Anyway. It's like there's miners now who many maximalists respect, even though they chose the wrong side in the fork war to begin with, but they then eventually realize their mistake. Like, people make mistakes. What is it? Like Vince Lombardi says, it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get back up again. And you've got to just, like, if something happens to you, take account of what you did and do the work that you need to do to move on from it.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, he's got this formula. Okay. If you just sign up, okay, he can have you doing 100x what you're buying and holding could do. Okay. That's all you need to remember. That right there, like, that just makes me cringe. You know, like when I see that, I'm like, okay, that's all the credibility is gone at that point. It's just gone. All right. Anyways, moving on. We're done with Plan B, even though I'm sure that's not the last we've heard of him. Let's dive into the final.
Also, how much Bitcoin can a guy even have? Surely he loses it all when he goes sailing all the bloody time.
You think he has any Bitcoin to lose? I don't know. You know, sometimes some of these...
Like, fiat maximalist is what I guess. Fiat maximalist.
Exactly. Exactly. I think we'd be really surprised at how much Bitcoin a lot of these people actually hold. Not that I care. I honestly couldn't care less.
No, because they're all like degenerates. Hard, they're holding options and all this sort of shit.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Degens.
All right. Here we go. Let's move on. Let's wrap up the fail so that we can take a look at the Hopium segment. That's right. All right. Here we go, guys. Look, I know that we have, you know, beaten this thing into the ground, but we have to really, we got to appreciate some of the journalism that's going on around Celsius. Okay, so here we go. This is from cryptonews.com, Simon Chandler. How to spot the next Celsius before it's too late. Speculators should treat incentive schemes that reward holders for not selling with suspicion. Now, yeah, exactly, right? Like, I want people to think for a second. That's what dividend-paying stocks do. They literally pay you not to sell the shares. They incentivize you not to sell them. Anyways, I digress. And those are considered to be reputable investment products.
Yeah, most pharma companies are those big, I'm pretty sure were like the companies that are paying these big dividends. So like it's often some of this real big business that's paying these dividends.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So
shit coins.
Okay, here we go. Let's continue. All right. It's every crypto investor's worst nightmare, depositing money with a platform that later goes bust, making it all but impossible to recover the funds. It's also bad enough investing in the native token of any such platform, the collapse of which will send that token plummeting to Earth like a lead balloon. And as we've mentioned in the past with Celsius, that was the thing that they did that was smart at the beginning was they only were working with Bitcoin, and then they slowly brought in all the shit coins. So you didn't even realize what was happening. And before you knew it, they were fully leveraged. They had, I mean, who knows what they were doing with your money, which we obviously figured out what was happening with that money between Terra and between the different DAOs that they were investing in. Anyways, let's continue on. While we can all point retroactively to how dangerous such platforms and their business models were, spotting the next Celsius before it collapses is certainly a big ask, is it? I don't know if I buy that for a second. I don't think it's really difficult to spot the next scam. I digress. However, a number of crypto industry players affirm that at least in the worst cases, there's a few telltale signs that reveal some platforms are exposing themselves to more risk than others. At the same time, a diversification strategy always remains a sound policy. So look, you guys can tell me that I'm wrong and I honestly couldn't give a shit, but one of the worst things you can do in Bitcoin is diversify your Bitcoin, meaning that if you decide to enter the space and you decide to buy any shitcoin, okay, pretty much anything, actually anything besides Bitcoin, that diversification will most likely end up failing you miserably. And you're going to look back at it like most of us who did shitcoin in the past and got wrecked and learned, and you're going to say, you know what? The risk is really not worth that.
So, like, I got lucky. I've never bought a shitcoin. I'd like to shout out, I'm not going to say who, but you know who you are. Thank you for telling me never to buy a shitcoin. I managed to avoid it. I'm only a 2018 or so. Like, it was a bit later on, but, like, still, like, there's two really easy rules in Bitcoin. One, not your keys, not your coins. Number two, don't fuck with shitcoins or they'll fuck you in the ass. It's quite simple. Like, there's two rules. Just two rules.
I like them, Walton. I'm a big fan of those rules. You know what? And I definitely want to keep, you know, I want to keep my ass out of this. All right. Let's wrap this up here. So here we go. This is about the Celsius failure. And this is actually a piece that I wasn't aware of until I read this article. It started in June 2021, said Marcus Sotiriou, when Celsius lost at least, I didn't realize this, at least 35,000 ETH. That was USD $58.8 million in June 2021. Interesting. According to on-chain data provided by Nansen in the Ethereum staking service Stakebound. In addition, according to an analysis by Dirty Bubble Media, Celsius lost USD $22 million from the Badger DAO after it mistakenly forfeited restitution payments. Very interesting stuff. Much of the innovation and programs we see around digital assets are still experimental, and with only 5% global penetration, the liquidity base is not strong enough to withstand extreme market stress. And with over 20,000 shitcoins in the market, liquidity is even more stretched out, leaving the market more vulnerable than it needs to be. All right, so here we go. This is where we introduce. See, the market's dangerous, but we can fix this, okay?
So we can. There's a reason why does the research for this section, and it's because I start hearing shitcoin buzzwords and it's just like I just start tuning it out. It's like even just listening to Phil there, I'm like trying to listen. Nope, fuck shitcoins,
right?
Can't hear. I just can't, like, it's so hard to listen to. Like, once you can see through the bullshit, it's painful.
It is. But unfortunately, there's so many people out there that buy the hopium and buy the narrative, because everyone, not everyone, but a majority of the noobs that come into the space, they all think that they can get the next Bitcoin, or they all want to figure out, how could I make my Bitcoin work for me? And the problem is that these scammers are very clever, right? Guys like Alex Mashinsky, they're able to give you these very nice, easy UX platforms where if you don't have enough conviction, you're going to say to yourself, you know what? 5% could be worth it, but it's not. Anyways, let's finish this up here. Crypto assets, I like how they call them assets, anyways, are intrinsically risky and require careful risk management. But the industry is only starting to learn that lesson in a painful way. When asset prices were increasing, hedge funds and lending platforms were borrowing with insufficient collateral and often using those funds to trade inherently risky trading strategies with leverage. Oh yeah, we need to definitely fix the shitcoin space with regulation. Okay, we all know how much the regulation helps. So here we go. Recent collapses will intensify the urgency for regulators to start imposing more rules on the shitcoin world to ensure that more retail investors are prevented from getting caught up in the hype and gambling with money they can ill afford to lose. Okay, so the reason why I ended with that is because I wanted to bring attention to a heavily regulated industry, which still completely collapsed in 2008 and actually led to the white paper, right? Satoshi dropped the white paper October 31st.
These funds all collapsing, and all their, like, debt between them always makes me think of Big Short when they go to, like, the ratings agency lady, and she's like, yeah, so, we give them the rating they want, because otherwise they're going to go down the street to our competitor, and they're going to get paid to do the rating. It's like, so, you're just buying that little blue tick, basically. Oh, okay. It's like, it's weird. It's like, how all the fucking shitcoin is getting all the blue ticks on Twitter? Like, is Twitter just, like, selling out to these? Like, I still don't understand what a DAO is. Like, they're not decentralized. They don't really sound like they're autonomous, and they certainly don't sound organized. So, like, it's just all ludicrous. Like, what if you're, I don't know, if you're in traditional finance, you're like, okay, so yeah, we're gonna put some money in ass token. They'd be like, sorry, what? You're like, yeah. So it's just going in the ass. They're like, lubrication? They're like, no, it's an asset. It's like, I don't think so. Like, this is all just utter nonsense. Like, not your keys, not your coins. Don't fuck with shit coins or get fucked in the ass.
Brought to you by Walton. I love it. I love it. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, right? People do not think of the mortgage crisis. They don't really put the two together, and they don't realize, listen, we had all of this regulation. This regulation means nothing, because when the people in power decide to dismantle these regulations in order to cause the type of issues that we end up seeing, which enrich a very small portion of the population, do you think it makes a difference that they had any of this regulation? I mean, what people don't realize is they took those mortgages, they took bad mortgages mixed with good mortgages, and they stuck them into an investment product, and then they created derivatives from those investment products. So how far removed was anyone from this money? They were incredibly far removed. There was tons of risk. And guess what? That was all regulated. Moody's was giving A+ for these bonds. They were, oh yeah, for sure, these CDOs, they're worth it. They're not. They weren't worth it. It was a scam.
All the terrible food they sell in stores, all the terrible food they sell in stores that are, like, full of all artificial stuff, that's regulated. The vegetables you grow in your garden, not regulated. Which is healthier?
Yeah. It's financialization fuckery is what it is. It's I didn't want to interrupt you in your reading, because I was taking it all in, but a few things jumped out at me is this whole concept of diversification. You know, I know you come from some experience in investing in stocks and bonds, so do I, and that's kind of the mindset over in that that sector. And so when I first got into Bitcoin, you know, I thought, oh, well, that makes sense. And then, you know, everyone's a genius in a bull market. And then the bear market hits, and then freaking reality hits. And, you know, you really learn how scammy and how dangerous these products are. Well, here we are, fast forward to this last bull market. And as we led up to it, you saw so much of this weird financialization of Ethereum and all these other shit coins and all these various shit coins that were trying to take on Ethereum, and then all the VC money that was going in to fund them. And the whole time we've been saying, this is bullshit. But then you have these very, again, you have these very eloquent articles with these people who are very good with wording. And I mean, if you're just a nobody, you know nothing, and you read that, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Well, we know the flip side of it. And the fact is, you know, we're watching a lot of them implode. Like, look at Solana just this week. That was a pretty, you know, the hack on Solana. This is just one of many. I freaking cheer when I see this happen. I just feel bad for the people who are caught holding the bag and they lose everything. Basically, they get a pile of shit in their bag. So, you know, how do you spot these things? You don't have to. Don't dabble in them. Don't waste your time in them. Just buy Bitcoin. I think about that whole concept of, oh, the diversification. No, you're losing your purchasing power when you do that. So all of the shitcoin casino, you go in there, you put your money on whatever red, black, whatever you're trying to gamble on. And reality is you're going to probably lose 90% of that. And maybe you'll 10%, you might make a little money on. So why not just put all that money into Bitcoin? Because you're already going to lose like most of it. I'd probably say 99% of it you're going to lose. So put it into Bitcoin and just hold it, and you'll be fine. Think about it. Low time preference. Think 5 to 10 years, and I guarantee you can literally forget about it.
It's like if you weren't smart enough to buy Bitcoin in the first, like, how long has it been now? Like 14 years, 13 years, like, and you think you're late to the game. How are you going to be smart enough to now play the game, even though you're the statement that like you didn't recognize the truth for a long time. You now think you're smarter than people who've been playing the game a lot longer than you. I think it's a bad idea.
I think it's laughable, right? The amount of research, you know, the amount of work that goes into it. I mean, look, a lot of times when you're talking to these, you know, when you're talking to these noob shitcoiners, they didn't even take the time to understand why Bitcoin is different. They didn't take the time to understand why Bitcoin, period. So
Here's
this is a
another
couple of
thing I'll
fallacies.
add. Oh, sorry.
You go, Pirate.
I was going to say, here's another thing I want to add is, don't get me wrong, there's people who I have friends who trade this stuff, and I give them shit for it, but they're unapologetic and they make tons of money because they're very smart, and they have no love for these coins at all. They have no love for them. They don't care about them. All they see is the dollar sign. So, but with that said, I've talked to them a lot too, where, you know, and you know, you're great. Maybe 15 trades go good, and then that one trade goes bad. And then you just are totally rat fucked, and you know all the money that because what happens is the greed factor comes in. It's just like it's a gambling problem is really what it is. It's like you just keep going in and put I'm gonna put it all in and I can make this amount, I can make this amount, and all it takes is one wrong trade, maybe two wrong, one wrong trade, maybe a hack, maybe like something like Celsius imploding, but whatever. You are literally playing with fire. Now, I know people who've made a ton of money, and my hat's off to them. It's easy to make money in a bull market, but when we get into where we are now, like I mean, reality hits, and then all of a sudden, you know what they do to shill these shit coins is platform changes. You know, oh, we're gonna upgrade, and that's what happens during bear markets because that's the only hopium they can provide. So
Well, I
anyway,
think the reason why like all these fails don't seem to like get picked up on by the shitcoiners is because all these shitcoiners just keep all their assets on exchanges. They're just that they like I have a friend like who like he, again like yeah so he's a guy who has bought a bit of Bitcoin but hasn't really gone fully down it. Like he's and he thinks maybe he can trade a bit. At least he's accounting in Bitcoin. That's the only positive there. But it was like last year I was like I think he bought some Solana. I'm like, dude, you realize that like that their chain split in half. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like the blockchain that like they you know that they're recording transactions on Solana. Like it just broke. He's like, yeah, but I just keep it on. I'm gonna trade it. And so like it doesn't matter. That's the thing is it's all
nobody
like all
uses
these
it.
guys, they're playing different games.
Yeah, no, nobody's using it. Nobody's actually using any of this stuff. This is what I find completely hilarious. Bitcoiners for the, you know, Bitcoiners are actually using Bitcoin. People are actually using the Lightning Network. There's physical hardware and software that's being built in order to create this ecosystem, but literally the shitcoin ecosystem consists of exchanges. That's it. It's exchanges. These tokens do nothing. Anyways, we are gonna move on. We are gonna move on because we definitely destroyed that segment. The shitcoin corner, that's where it stays in the corner. But now we are moving on to Walton's segment. And I think today, Walton, are we looking at some hopium?
Yes, yeah, so we've got a little hopium for you. Okay, so we got some hopium for you guys right here, right now. BlackRock to offer Bitcoin trading custody and Coinbase partnership. The $10 trillion asset manager will leverage Coinbase Prime to offer Bitcoin trading and custody services to institutional investors. I feel like I heard this story. I think it's a new story. Certainly, Bitcoin Magazine put it out there. Big story this week, maybe 3 days ago, something like that. And of course, BlackRock are a very big asset manager. But as far as I'm aware, like I remember hearing a video like 2 years ago, their CIO like fixed income asset? Is it Rick Ryder, something like that? This guy said, okay, so basically Bitcoin's going to replace bonds in the long term. Like BlackRock have been buying for a while. I guess what happens in traditional finance is like eventually what once the fiat bros have like accumulated some asset, then they open it up so that their clients can buy. Of course, you got to front run your clients, right? Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't be an absolute banker.
Very well said. Actually, very well said. And the other piece to this is this, right? Every single one of these institutions, think of JP Morgan. JP Morgan was warning everyone, right? I still remember going back to the previous bull market. JP Morgan was warning everyone to stay away. Everyone to stay away from Bitcoin. This stuff is garbage. And then what do you end up hearing? JP Morgan's opening up a trading desk.
Well,
It's
and also,
exactly what you
didn't
said.
they also quietly acquire Consensus, which provides it like core infrastructure for Ethereum? Like JP Morgan's the sole proprietor of that, or something like that. Like it, yeah. These banks, they want to play games. They want to take their cut. Like, what a surprise that fiat banking is slow to you know, introduce an asset that doesn't require intermediaries nor custodians to their customers. Like, how are they going to take a cut? How can they take a cut of like selling Bitcoin? They can't really. And so why not slow it up?
You know, to your point, right? They have to offer value. This is something that I've always said in the past. Okay, Bitcoin creates a scenario where people essentially, when they offer a service or a product, they have to actually create, it actually has to provide value to the buyer. So as a result, right, what can they do with Bitcoin? I mean, I've laughed about this 1,000 times in the past. Like, what are they going to do? They're going to go check they're going to go check the blockchain with an explorer.
Like
Yeah, all right, your funds are
somehow
still there. Like,
I don't
what are they
quite
going to,
buy
they're going to test your
plebs.
seed? They're going to test your seed phrase or something? Like, what exactly are they going to offer? The only thing they can do is figure out some type of a shitcoin casino. And to me, this is why we often see a lot of these investment houses that, you know, to your point, right? JP Morgan getting into Consensus, right? We've got the World Economic Forum that backs Ethereum, you know, which is very interesting because they need something that they can control. They need something to be able to make it their sandbox. And Bitcoin doesn't offer enough of those terrible qualities to make it their sandbox. So they may
Yeah,
act like they like it, but they don't care about it. They want nothing to do with it, really.
they're all trying to jump in. They're all trying to get into the market. They know they have to. And the ironic thing about this, because I watched, because I've, you know, it's hopium, and I watched the price of Bitcoin, and actually the price like dipped for like it didn't even really move off of this info. And if it was legit or if like this was compelling, the price might have moved, but it's just bullshit. It's marketing bullshit. I mean, at the end of the day, like everyone's going to be in Bitcoin. So, and they've probably already been in Bitcoin for a long time. So they're just, you know, if they were just getting into Bitcoin and this was something new, we would see a huge market spike because they would buy at such a mass quantity that it would affect supply. And unfortunately, it didn't do anything. And so I don't know. At the end, I just. This type of information, as much as I like that it we've been talking about like stock to flow and all these people pushing hopium and all this stuff. As much as I like positive news about Bitcoin, I can't get excited about this. I just can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree. It's a non-story.
Who is this hopium for, right? This is hopium for the retail investor. That's what this is. That's what essentially this is hopium for. Because at the end of the day, Bitcoiners don't care, right? Like it's exactly what you said. Like to us, this is a non-story. I mean, who,
But there's
you
a
know, big
reason why
deal.
I brought it up, and it's not
Yes.
like, okay, you're like, okay, why has he brought up a story if it's a non-story? The reason why is because I want plebs to raise their bullshit detectors, guys. You need to when you're being sold, oh, here's something exciting. Like, is it actually exciting, or is just someone yelling about it because maybe there's some sort of incentive to do it? Like, are these traditional finances trading on news? Like, I don't know. Like, there's And if Coinbase is involved, maybe there's something funny going on. Like, just stack sats, stay humble. Like, and keep an eye out for if you're being told something, who's telling it to you? Why are they telling it to you? Yes. What are the incentives driving people to talk about something? Do those incentives, like, aligned with yours? Be careful.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you know what? I'd also like to add this. I noticed this in the last bull cycle, okay? After Bitcoin had hit the, you know, the 20K mark, okay? It started to pull back. And all you saw was this type of hopium, right? These types of, oh yeah, you know, Fidelity's opening up their trading desk. This, you know, this business is doing this. You know, you've got Coinbase hiring all kinds of sketchy people to create Chainalysis tools, which came out in this bull market. Anyways, the point is that you end up seeing all of this and you're like, why doesn't this move the Bitcoin price? Because the market, okay, so honestly, is exhausted at this point. Oh, sorry, go on.
But also because supply is messy. I spoke about this a bit earlier with the plan B of like, why, like, so his model only accounted for new supply. And I'm saying, well, what, firstly, like, that's not real supply because you've got far too many coins on exchanges. There's something like 10% of all Bitcoin is sitting on exchanges. Now, does that mean that, like, that there are the same number of claims out there on those Bitcoin? Or could it be that these exchanges have in fact oversold Bitcoin? Now, unless you all withdraw the coins from the exchange, they are actually like placed to do this. I'm not accusing any particular company of this. I'm just saying that the incentives and the like mean that they can, and that they, like, if they could be, you know, they sell to customers who then keep their coins on exchanges. They could have 4 million offers out there for the 2 million Bitcoin they've got. And no one knows. Because, again, you have to trust that these guys actually have what they do. And you can't trust them. Not because they're inherently bad people, though many of them may well be, but because you don't need to. Like, Bitcoin is a trust-minimized system. Use it. Don't trust more than you need to. Take your coins off exchanges. Learn what a UTXO is and claim it until you have UTXOs and you have the keys to the wallet that contains them. You don't own Bitcoin. You own a piece of paper saying, "Hello, Mr. Coinbase. I like some Bitcoin, but I don't really own any. Well, can you look after it, please? Thank you."
Oh, very well said. Very well said. Okay. We are going to move on to, unless you have something else on the Hopium segment.
No, that was it. I think we should briefly mention that we're going to have a few different sections in this show. Not every section will be in every episode. I'm really excited about, we're going to have a section called History of Money. Like, we'll probably get into that next week. It's History of Money. We're going to be looking, like, at little snapshots in time, how money was used, the culture that ultimately emanated from the types of money and the incentives that it produced. We'll come back to that next time. I'm excited to talk to one of the chief plebs, not King Pleb, that's Mr. Hoddle. What's up, Steve? But let's talk to Pirate, dude.
All right, we are diving into the interview guest portion, which, you know, we've had Pirate commenting all along on this, but specifically, we wanted to talk about Pleb Underground. After I left Simply Bitcoin, was going to do a YouTube show, just a YouTube show on, you know, and not have anything else with it. And then Pirate started talking to me about, you know, doing some articles and some writing. And I spoke to Walton, and here we are, all three of us. And, you know, between Pirate and I, we came up with the, you know, the name Pleb Underground. And Pirate, man, I just want you to tell people about Pleb Underground. Like, what can they expect? Like, what are we doing exactly?
Honestly, we're just carrying the torch of Pleb Signal. You know, This whole pleb thing is an interesting kind of evolution, and it all started in 2016, 2017. I logged into Bitcoin Twitter, and there was a whole like culture going on, kind of the same stuff but a lot smaller.
Was
And
it even called Bitcoin Twitter back then?
no, we called it crypto Twitter.
It was
I mean,
awful.
literally,
Cringe. It
yeah.
was a cesspool.
But it was a different culture. I mean, it was a lot of the people who are now influencers were just plebs or just regular people. But it was mainly like early adopters, OGs, and then like these people who started shit coins and were pushing shit coins and ICOs. And so and really, it kind of the whole pleb thing kind of evolved out of the No2x movement. So sorry, I was trying to find the acronym in my head, but yeah, the No2x movement, and the SegWit. And so reality was, is you had all the corporate and the corporate Bitcoiners wanting to basically change Bitcoin, and it was the whole block wars. And so there was a lot of us who learned a lot, and we learned a lot from the likes of Jimmy Song, Francis, Polio. I probably pronounce his wrong, name wrong, because I do every time. There was a lot of people that were in the trenches, fighting the Giacomo. I'm missing some, and I just know if I missed you, I apologize. But these were like the main voices that were constantly just firing ammo at the enemy, as I call them at the time. And so whenever like a person like me, or let's say Hodl Knot, or Psychedelic Bard, or there was a lot of White Rabbit, there was some of these legendary accounts, Dieter, we were always in threads, and we were fighting, we were trying to bring our voice up, but we were little tiny accounts with no voice. And these people would just like they were it was a lot more hardcore than it was than it is now, because anyone could say anything. And so basically, they would just clown you. And so I remember, and they would make fun of the fact that you had no followers and that nobody liked your shit. But we all just kept the fire. And so I think I was watching like some medieval thing on TV or something, and they said plebs, and I was like, that's kind of what we are. Like, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. And so one day I was in one of the threads arguing with somebody, and like I was just like, yeah, they were shitting on me, and I was like, yeah, you've got your 50,000 followers, and I'm just a lowly pleb, and you know it all. You're just the all-knowing, and just shit on me, And so, and it kind of just started. That was when the word literally was first used, and then it just kind of got picked up, and people started calling themselves plebs. And because it really is the perfect term for the average person, like, and it was almost like an FU to them, because like at the time, being an influencer was very important. There was actually websites that there was this one that did an algorithm on all of your Twitter activity, and it measured your influencer rating. It was like influencer, and these idiots would literally brag about this stuff. They would post their influencer ranking, and so we would just go after it because we thought it was so cheesy and weird. And so that's where the pleb movement kind of started. And then they're Bitcoiners are kind of funny. They're kind of cultish in many ways, in good ways and bad ways. But like the dietary stuff started really getting popular, and they were selling steak dinners, and everybody was a carnivore. Everybody was a Bitcoin carnivore. And so I just thought it was so stupid. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I love freaking meat, and I love all that kind of stuff, but I like all kinds of food. And so I just thought it was really weird, to be quite honest. And I had a friend who actually paid to go to one of the dinners, and he told me, he's like, man, it was kind of Lord of the Flies. Like just a bunch of dudes hanging out, eating steaks, drinking wine. And he's like, I looked around and I was like, this is just odd. And so I remember that kind of hit me, and I remember I joked. I'm like, I'm gonna send a salad to one of those dinners, and I would, because they would announce them, and then I would just troll them in the comments, like, I'm gonna send like a plate of broccoli to your who will anybody eat it? Or and then I was even joking that I would send a dessert tray because you know they were all doing keto or whatever it was, and so as a joke one day, because I love like to clown. I mean, I just I'm I it's fun to me. So I was I'm like, oh. It was the Satoshi's round table. It was at Stanford, and all the biggest names went there. And you know, they people would write like, "Oh, my thoughts on the Satoshi's round table," and they everyone would applaud. Oh, yeah, you know. And I just thought, this is so weird. This is like so like, I mean, it's cool, but like, I don't know. It's like these people just were like more. I felt like they thought they were more important than they really were. And that's not to say that there's some humble people in there, but. I got the idea. I'm like, oh, and I said, I shot HODL not a message, and I had found this photo, and it was like two like plastic tables, like long rectangle, like that you would see in like a, you know, like a conference or something that, you know, where people would sit at, and they had dressed it up, and there was like tacos neatly arranged all around in a circle, all the way down this table with like, you know, salsa in the middle, and it was just a beautiful display of tacos. And I love tacos. And so I was like, you know, we should pretend like we had the taco carnivore Satoshi round table. And so I go, I go, just retweet this, okay? Just go with it. And so I put out this tweet like, oh man, I think it was like 2018 or 17, maybe it was 18 by that time. I'm like, yo, I'm hot or not. I said, thanks for the coming to the, oh no, I said the 2000 18 Satoshi or the Taco Carnivore Satoshi Roundtable was lit, and I took the photo and I tagged HODLNOT in it, and so then he retweeted it, and then all of a sudden it just went viral, and all these people were like, "Oh man, I missed it! Oh, you got to invite me next year!" And so we just were like, "No problem, man. We totally." So we had this full ruse, and it was just a total joke, and so that's how like. This is kind of how the pleb movement started. It was literally nobody like, there was no teams. There was no like, oh, we're going to call ourselves plebs. It was just like the word pleb was kind of just a word that like we all kind of rallied around in a way. And then the taco thing, taco pleb, that came from this tweet. And so it was always our joke. And so we do it. You'll see this tweet. And we've done it again. Like in 2019, we did it. In 2020, we did it. And so one of these days, our goal is to actually do this. Because I think it would actually be fun to have like the legitimate taco carnivore pleb
So
round table.
me and Tarantula, so well, let me, there was plans to have a Bitcoin Council of Autism dinner in Miami, and it kind of went slightly wrong in that like half of the group ended up one place and half the group ended up another place, miscommunications. It was a crazy night, but me and Tarantula like managed to basically like we didn't book a taco place, but we went there. And we just kind of we got a table outside, then more people turned up, we just got another table, and we just started like getting all the tables outside in the street, putting them together. Eventually we had 50 plebs at this party, one huge long table. It was an unofficial one. Like we just people like just kept going in, ordering their bits, coming out, like
That's
you know,
dope.
it was so chill. Like there was some guy who looked a bit like Jimmy Song. I was like, I took Bitcoin fuckboy's hat off his head, put it on this guy, and he looked exactly like Jimmy Song. Like it was a crazy night. Like we had, I don't know, it was just plebs,
That's
plebs,
really cool. I'm
plebs.
excited to
Like,
hear
and we
that.
had, it was a great one. It was a great one. Yeah, big shout out to Tarantula. What's up, T?
Well, that's cool. Like, honestly, so. You know, that's the history on it. And then it kind of took on a life of its own. I think it was somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody built some way to send sats to people, and they used a taco in it. Maybe you guys probably know, because it always had a taco in the logo,
Oh my
and it was like
gosh.
they acknowledged us, and we were laughing about it. We're like, look, we made it. Like some company or some guy liked our thing, and he put like so. It was some way to send sats on Twitter. I forget what it was. I don't know exact. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he put a taco in it. Somebody who's listening will co correct the actual the history or whatever. They can send me what exactly that was, but it was a way that a lot of people would promote it, and there was always a taco in it, so it was kind of funny. And this whole thing kind of just rolled forward. And then, the pleb thing, we just started really calling ourselves plebs, and it also pissed off a lot of people. And so I think that was part of it too. And then, like, it just, like I said, it took on a life of its own. And here we are, it's 2022. And so how does Pleb Underground kind of tie into that? Well, the fact is like, the people, like, there's been a huge movement of people trying to shit on plebs over the years. There's been the movements where, like, actually the corporate and marketing Bitcoiners tried to steal the word pleb and brand their stuff with it, and we fought back. So to me, like, I never really cared, like, about this. I never even cared about the word pleb. I thought it was cool, and I'm actually, I hate saying, oh yeah, like people say, oh, Pirate made it up, he's the one, but it wasn't just me. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just me. It was like, maybe I used it, maybe I was one of the first to use it or whatever. But it was everyone that was there, and there was a lot of people there. And so I don't really feel comfortable, like, saying, oh, it was me. And so obviously we believe that Mr. HODL is the king pleb, because
100%. Yeah,
we are so grateful for
we
him.
bow down in his presence.
I mean, he has schooled us on so much Bitcoin knowledge and how to be and how to work on Twitter. And thank you, Steve. We really appreciate your commitment to the pleb. So, but reality is,
Phew.
joking aside, I think what these people don't understand is, like, why people don't like plebs is because plebs don't care. We're average, everyday, hardworking people who have regular jobs. We have no incentives, and we're not incent or are we love Bitcoin, and we're not incentivized by marketing or shilling stuff. And so, we're the ones who literally are the vocal people who call out all these people. And so, and the people we call out have these exceptionally huge followings, and they're all incestually interrelated in their shilling and in their friendships, because they all do the circus pony show of going to every conference. So of course they're eating dinner together, and they're breaking bread together. And you can't get in the middle of some of those bonds. Even they'll just look past all of their peers' unethical behavior. And so when plebs go and attack these people, it's usually for good reason. And you know what? Not there's no ID card. There's no, like, centralized command. We do have, Mr. HODL as our king, but, like, he's just a de facto king. It's more of just for symbolic reasons. And that's a joke, and maybe we'll tell that joke on another time. But my point is the reason why plebs get so much hate is because all of these influencers, they hate us because we clap back at them. And they would love to silence us. And so to me, that's really, really powerful. It's what we need. We need more of that, because what Bitcoin has become is like, when I say what Bitcoin has become, when I say the bitness, the bindish, the bitnessery, meaning like the Bitcoin
Industry.
industry, it's become this thing where it's like all of the narratives and all of the, like, a lot of the stuff is run by big, or sponsored and funded by Bitcoin companies, big ones, and they're paid, army of influencers that have tons of followings, and they all just kind of work in this way to platform each other. Like, at, you're my speaker at the conference, you're my speaker at, you're my host of this contest or content or conference, and then the next one and the next one and the next one. And, like, there's a lot of us who just don't have time to do that, or we just don't want to do that. And I'm not shitting on anyone who goes to these things, but, like, on the outside, to the average person, they just look at these people as they know what they're talking about. And you guys all know that these people often don't know what they're talking about. I mean, these same people shield you BlockFi, they shield you
Celsius.
Celsius, they shield you Compass Mining. I mean, they'll shield anything they're paid to do, and they have no ethos and backbone. When things blow up, they just move on to the next thing. They drop that sponsor. And so I don't know, like, to me, I've just seen this huge thing. And the problem I've seen too is, like, our voice is getting drowned out, because they've been working in overdrive to drown out the pleb voice. I mean, you have Peter McCormick shitting on plebs, you got Udi Weather shitting on plebs. I mean, it's everybody shitting on plebs. Nick Carter shitting on plebs and maximal. When I say plebs, I'm talking about maximalists. hardworking Bitcoiners, you know, whatever you want to call us, toxic plebs. There's so many different terms that can, we can use interchangeably. And then you have the crew who's like, I don't want to label myself as anything. Well, I hear you. Neither do I. We just call ourselves plebs because, like, it's just like a catch-all phrase for, you know, being a person who's just like a hardworking person who is, who wants to come and get real signal and get, and have like-minded people. I don't want to have like Natalie Brunell, who's a paid actor, like a paid basically actress, you know, tell me what Bitcoin is. And I don't want her to tell my friends who Bitcoin is. I don't want a guy like Peter McCormick. Yeah, he can interview anyone he wants, but I don't think he's a great voice for Bitcoin. Breedlove, same thing. I mean, he's a really bright guy, but I mean, I just don't think that he's the voice for Bitcoin. Some people may, I mean, I don't care if you like his content or whatever. There's a lot of like really intelligent, smart people who are just regular Bitcoiners who won't sell out to, you know, what was it? Whatever the thing that Breedlove sold out to the moment that he got a following, that undermined him. What was it? Do you guys remember? BitClout, yeah. I mean, BitClout. and then he gets called out on it and he triples down on it. And then it's like, we're the bad guys. The plebs are the bad people. We're the
Let
bad
me
people.
Scam in peace.
Guys, sorry, I messed up the recording there, I'm sure, before, because I was gonna try and share screen like on part of the screen and it just messed it up. But I wanna share a quotation of something. This is terrible, I apologize. I'm sharing a quotation of something that I said. But it's just so that, like, if you don't understand British, then you can read along and you can still understand what I'm trying to say here. But it was my first bit of writing on Bitcoin. It was an interview I did with Pyra. I want to share it. It's just about why I thought toxicity was important. And I said Bitcoin toxicity is usually a misnomer. The fiat world has incentivized individuals who have high political quotients, essentially those who are good at manipulating the behavior of others. And these people frame ideas disingenuously, and then they leverage what I call politicized niceness against those that speak out of them. Many Bitcoiners, like myself, lots of good ones, are autistic. And, like, I don't know if it's a will or can, but, like, this happened this week. Jim was hosting a space, and if you trigger a high-functioning autistic person, they have to come and correct it. And so I managed to trigger Beauty on to come up and say something intelligent to us. But like when it comes to autistic Bitcoiners on Twitter, if people are like influenza are trying to put out bullshit, you will have Bitcoiners coming out and speaking against it. Now their words might sometimes be, what's the word, like a little bit acidic, and maybe that's where kind of like some of this kind of toxicity type concept comes from. But don't confuse the style, like, or don't conflate the style with the message necessarily. Try and see what the signal is, and the signal is often that these plebs are questioning the integrity of the people who are putting out these messages, which is why I say that this label of toxic is a prime example of these high political quotient individuals resorting to ad hominem attacks, because the way that they win in general, and this is what has advanced them in, you know, in corporate organizations especially, is that they win in the court of public opinion. And what I mean by that is that essentially they persuade others to advance them, even if they're not necessarily, you know, the ones who are speaking the truth or the ones with the good intentions. Now, I think integrity is important. Fiat maximalists want to frame it as toxicity because they want to get away with their scams. They want to target these lost souls who have high time preference. These have been cultivated in the fiat world, these people. And Bitcoiners should continue to call them out because Bitcoiners tell the truth and they should continue to do so.
That's a great, 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 great piece that you just shared, because you really did it eloquently and articulately. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm writing the article and the title of it is called Plebs Are Bad for Business, and that's what we are. We're bad for their business, and that's the only reason why they hate us. So
bad for business that doesn't have integrity. Like if you're a stand-up business, you know, if you're Rick, like 3D printing, like, you know, node cases, and you're selling them for Bitcoin, like, good for you, good for you. Like, if, yep. But if you're some weasel trying to be a middleman and take a cut, like, go fuck yourself.
Like Plan B, for example, we pushed back on him. I was one of the, there was a few of us, not just me.
Oh, he's blocked us all at this point.
I mean, but there was a few of us when Stock to Flow was like in sync, you know, and it was, mm-hmm. and you don't understand the hate that we would take for this. But like, for me, I'm like, how does this guy just come up with this? Like, the fundamentals of Bitcoin are what you need to know. You don't need this model. And I really believed it would blow up at some point. I had this intuition that it would, because everybody who's ever tried to pitch this kind of stuff, that's what happens. But that's a perfect example of someone who was incentivized by the clout and by other things. And so, you know, basically,
I'm sure you remember last year, a lot of Bitcoin, a lot of high profile Bitcoiners were saying, oh, well, if it does break, well, it'll break to the upside, right? It's going to, you know, yeah, we're going to have 200,000, 500,000, no, 800,000, no, maybe 1 million. We're going to have a top, you know,
that
in
messes
this
with people's heads. And that's kind of what
100%.
I
100%. And it's like, take responsibility for what you're saying.
Right.
Like, if, because people that hear it might not get that you're joking.
Well, and the problem is, though, here's the bigger problem, is all the corporate, the marketing podcasts, the marketing influencers, and the big businesses who fund them all, you know, they're very, very clever, and they all work in unison. And so they have created this whole like corporate marketing machine that gives you conferences, that gives you podcasts, that you know, cultivates writers, and they have all the control to edit out the good stuff and put in whatever they want. And there is a lot of good content there, but there's also a lot of other BS with that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've been a writer since 2017, I think is when I probably first wrote my first article. And so with that said, you know, I luckily joined in, I found Hacker Noon early on, and, you know, they really embraced me and like gave me a lot of freedom to do what I wanted. And I learned a lot with them. I didn't have a falling out with them. I would just say I had like more of a moral dilemma, is they would allow shitcoins to write articles on there. And it just got to the point where I was like, you know, I can't do this. I can't ask my friends to write articles for Hacker Noon. I need to move away. And then really, that's when Citadel 21 started with HODLNOT, and who's one of my very, very close friends. And I was like, hold on, I want to be part of this. I heard he was doing it, and I'm like, I want to be part of this. And he's like, sure. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to, and I had written my bear market diaries in 2017 for Hacker Noon, and they gave me tons of love, and I got a lot of views, and I got a lot of great feedback, and I just kind of left it. I was like, okay, I need to start a new series, but I was kind of down on just writing and stuff, and I was like, I'll just do an interview. And that's where the Savage Interview or the Savage Bitcoiners came from. And I evolved into that, and I've contributed an interview every magazine. And, you know, HODLNOT and Katya, they just released issue number 18, and, you know, they're every other month. So you can do the math on how long that's been going. But I really just was like, you know, as we started getting into this bear cycle, cause I don't like bull cycles. I think every content creator, every writer, all this stuff comes out and it's just bullshit. It's everyone's like, oh, I can reinvent myself here. And so like, that's not when I get excited actually to do anything. You just get lost because there's almost too much signal. And so we watched a lot of people come up, and then as soon as the market started tanking, I would tease it. I'm like, when Bear Market Diaries? And then all of a sudden behind the scenes, people would message me like, hey man, are you going to start that up again? And I'd be like, I don't know. I had nowhere to go. Like, cause I can't, that doesn't really fit with Citadel. Cause Citadel's every other month. I already had an interview there, and I'm like, and a few more people messaged me, and I had some talks with a few of my close people that I do talk about Bitcoin with. Frito2x was actually one of them. And he was like, you need to do this. Like, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't know what it did to me. I got inspired. And so I put it out there, and I was just doing it all alone. And I got really way more response than I'd ever gotten. And I was like, wow, this is great. And that's after like having my account nuked I had an account with like, I think 20 something thousand followers, which actually, if you're a writer, that helps you just at least get some visibility. So I got that nuked and then I built it back up. And I was doing a podcast the other day. I hadn't looked at it in a while. And I guess I'm at 9,000 now. And so I was like, oh, cool. Like, actually, maybe some people will read this. So when I looked at, I'm like, I looked at like the metrics on the article. I'm like, oh, wow, this is kind of good, but I could use some more people. And I really like the guys at Simply Bitcoin, and that was when Phil was there and Nico. I like Opti. I like all those guys. And I said, hey guys, like if I put you guys like if you guys sponsor this, like they weren't paying me or nothing. I just wanted them to like get it visibility. I said, could you I'll put your logo on the bottom. And so we had this really cool thing come together where they were giving me love, I was giving them love, and I was like, this is cool, man. This is so cool. And so I got to like I got to like ish or interview number five, and that's when Phil left, and I was like, well, that sucks. I'm like, well, okay, here we go. Like, is this whole thing gonna implode? And so Opti stepped in, and I did it with them, and it didn't feel the same, you know. And I just kind of had that feeling again of like, here I go, I'm doing this. And actually at that time we even took it to the next level, and Nico and I had some talks, and he's like, hey, why don't you, and Phil and I had talked, and like, why don't you do like Simply Bitcoin News? And so I kind of started doing, I think I wrote like five or six articles for it, and I was the only contributor. And again, I just felt like I was working for somebody again, and I was like, I don't want this. And like it didn't feel fun to me. Like it was fun, don't get me wrong, but it didn't have the vibe that I wanted. And so I was like, I need to really rethink this. So I meditated on it and went to my rock where I do my thinking, smoked a few bowls, I guess, too. And I really said to myself, like I really want to do something cool, but like I don't want to do it myself. And Phil just happens to be one of my very best friends, like in real life. Like we're best friends. Like he's my brother from another mother. And so I was telling him my struggles, and then one day he's like, well, I would like to do that. And I'm like, well, I thought you just want to do a podcast. He's all, no, I would like to do this. And I said, I didn't know that. If you would have told me that, I would have done this with you a long time ago. And so we're sitting there one day, and he grew up skating, and I grew up, surfing and skating, and we really connect on board sports and action sports. And so, and we were talking about like all the brands that we really loved in the action sports industry, which were exactly what plebs are. They were like brands that were made for like actual the people that were the hardest. They were always like the most legit. They were always the best. Maybe they weren't the guys who went and did the contest, but these guys were so good they didn't have to like go win contests, like because everybody wanted to see their footage. They wanted to, and I was like, man, we should do something like that. And so we're throwing out names, and Phil's like, oh yeah, he's like, what do you think about Bitcoin Underground? And I'm like, dude, I looked up the domain. It's like 5 grand. Sorry. And then I'm like, well, what about Pleb Underground? And he's like, yeah, I like that. And I'm like, dude, it's dope, huh? Pleb Underground, like that's so skatey. It's like sounds like a surfing brand. And so we're like, cool. And so I talked with HODL Knot, and I was like, man, I go, I want to just start getting pleb content and like aggregating really good stuff and doing something different than what everyone else is doing. And Phil has had a lot of great ideas. And then I mean, we're all plebs, so we all talk. You started coming in the mix. We start spitballing ideas, and like all of a sudden, like we have this really cool thing. And so this thing's very new, but already the amount of traction we've gotten and the partnerships we've gotten. I kind of came up with the idea of like, let's start a collective, because there's so many of us small people out here that get that do all this great stuff. I see it on Twitter. I see like LC HODL doing his podcast, Frito2x doing his podcast, all the memers generating their content, you doing spaces, Walton, Phil doing his podcast, Simply Bitcoin doing their podcast. There's so many of them. And I mean, yeah, the list. I mean, these are all people who are are helping or are BitGo did our logo. All these people, like every one of these people has helped us with something, and we want to expand this to where That was the other thing. Let me step back. So I talked to Hoddlenut, and I'm like, you make a physical magazine and you have your website. But what I'd like to do is take some of that content and put it on our site, and give you like, let you like help you get more traffic to your site that way. Help the memers get traffic to their stuff. Help you, Walton, get stuff to your spaces. And so that resonated with people. And here we are, like we're in our, I think we're hitting on week two. Our numbers are through the roof. I'm sorry, I missed Becca's BT Weekly, which is genius.
Juicy.
Juicy and genius. And so we have all of these partners that, I mean, and we're just like, literally, we're a collective of independent, like, you know, content creators who are joining together and creating, and I think you coined the term, a pleb portal. And that's what Pleb Underground is. And so like I was sitting there, and me and Phil, we've had these long philosophical debates about what
it's
we're going to do.
Just for the sake of it, right, Pirate? Like we're trying to fix a problem, which is that these big corporate organizations have expensive marketing departments. They can pay for ads. They can advance their message at a higher rate than the pleb can, but it doesn't mean that they have a higher signal to noise ratio. And often it may not be it may be that it's the other way around, right? The plebs have the higher signal, and so like we're collectively trying to showcase all the cool stuff that plebs are doing, like because that's the signal. Like that's what I as a pleb want to know. But I want to know about cool sites that Ant's making, or like, you know, what's the latest gossip like from Becca, or you know, like how bad like is Canex at cooking, like there's, or how bad is his wife at cooking, like there's many different kind of communities in the Bitcoin space. But like honestly, like some of the memers, like you really need to get out there, learn about these different things, and you know, at the end of the day, use some tools, learn some Bitcoin, but have a good time, like have fun being a pleb. Like you see these influencers and they're all tight-lipped. It's because they're not having fun, because they have to, oh, I need to talk like this for my marketing people. They won't pay me otherwise. No, fuck you. Like, we're not doing this that way. We're not doing it corporate. This is for the plebs, by the plebs. Let's go, Pleb Underground.
Oh, well, okay. So you let me unpack that real quick. So I hate that, but it sounds like a good thing to say. so what you were just saying, that is the crux of it, is we're in a time where we have Bitcoin Magazine. Okay, which I like a lot. I like all those guys that work there, most of them. I think they're all very talented, and hey, they got to make a living, and they've got to, you know, they got to do what they've got to do. But they're very corporate marketing Bitcoin. You got CoinDesk. You have other little sites as well. But like all of these sites are funded by either Bitcoin companies or shitcoin companies, and their incentives are like when you are married to advertising, let's say Swan, you're sponsored by Swan. Well, you're not going to be able to have like a real take on Swan. So like, this is the culture that we're living in right now. You have marketing, and you have, you know, marketing and big corporate Bitcoiners that are literally controlling the narrative. And they're all of their shills are saying, toxic maximalists, we need to be more inclusive. You're hurting Bitcoin. These narratives, you know, where they were pushing BlockFi, these narratives where they were pushing Compass Mining, and they were pushing Coinbase back in the day. All of these places, they've always pushed garbage because they're incentivized by the wrong thing. Well, we've never had a literal core like news site. And to me, like, it's really important for us to build this out, because we're more of a cultural site. Like, we are trying to cover the Bitcoin culture while teaching people about Bitcoin, because there is serious content in there and then there's silly content in there. But the reality is all of us are Bitcoiners. And what I cannot stand is the fact that we fund all of those big, we're the ones, our money, when we go buy Bitcoin, it funds those big businesses. And so we're paying for them to market Bitcoin in a way that we don't like, or that we don't relate to. Like, I do not like, Swan is doing, you know, a conference, which I think it's great they're doing a conference, but like their hosts are, you know, Natalie Brunell.
Fuck Pedro.
Peter McCormick and Breedlove, like those are not the voices of Bitcoin. Sure, they can speak about Bitcoin and they can generate content and they have some good stuff, I'm sure. But like for me, I don't relate to that. And I know a lot of people that don't relate to it. And it's okay if you relate to it. But like, again, like there's nothing out there that pushes back against that. And reality is that's what Pleb Underground is. We are our own place. We're free to do what we want. Like today, like Fractal Encrypt is like the most incredible Bitcoin artist. And like today, you know, I took an article from that was published in volume 18 of Citadel 21. It's called Bitcoin and Psychedelics, a Tool for Sovereignty. And like, this is like I think it's like 10,000-15,000 word, like incredible piece. It's a piece of art. I'm like, I'm honored to be able to publish that and put it out there, but that wouldn't be a good fit for CoinDesk. That wouldn't be a good fit for, you know, Bitcoin Magazine, but on Pleb Underground, it's awesome. Just like, you know, we do meme compilations. We did one about Phil. We memed Phil. We did one about Svetsky. We did, you know, we have articles like, you know, like Phil wrote an article on why is Ethereum a shitcoin scam. But my point is we have a variety of articles and we're going to be building in new content. And what we want to do is give the world a snapshot into the average working Bitcoiners like perspective of Bitcoin, because that's what all of us are. Like I have another job. I know Phil, you know, Phil's luckily retired. And Walton, I know you have a job.
I don't have a job. Like I've been self-employed for 7 years, but like,
well, me too. I mean, I'm self-employed,
but it's, you know, I have to work all the time. Like I'm poor as fuck. Like it, but you know, like, but I don't think I am, because I own some of my time. And this is where it comes back to like what is this all about? Like for me being like, the objective is to have full sovereignty over your own time. Like that's what wealthy means to me. Like, and I see Bitcoin as the best tool to get me there. Like, we got to get to work. We got to get building, start some fights online. Like it's better than starting fights with your loved ones. Like at least your loved ones will think so. Yeah, but you know, get out.
The next thing I wanted to add too, is that, and this is where from some of these talks that I've had with Phil, like, you know, my incentives for this, at some point, you know, when it gets big enough, we'll figure out how to monetize it, but we'll do it in a way that's like, we're not trying to like make money from the corporate circle jerk. Like we'll do it in a way so it can like pay for like t-shirts and shit like that. You know,
we're integrity first, popularity second.
That's not the incentive. Exactly. Right now it's about this. And so this is what the real incentive is for me personally. And I believe it's for Phil too. And is there's so many great content creators in Bitcoin that are plebs, that are just regular people that they work a job, and they do this on the side as a hobby. And it gets published in, you know, either in a thread on Twitter, you know, they may do like Frito2x, he's a doctor and he does a Bitcoin podcast and he's an incredible guy. I've known him since 2017 and like, he doesn't get much love. You know, LC Hoddle.
Shout out Children of the Corn.
Yeah, Children of the Corn. Shout out Children of the Corn. LC Hoddle. Like, LC Hoddle is such a good dude. And, like, he does the Blue Collar podcast. And, like, he's a hardworking dude, family man. I mean, that dude is about as real gets. And so, like, he doesn't get a lot of love. And so, like, for me, like, I didn't get a lot of
maybe
love.
Maybe he should post fewer scat memes and then he would yeah, he might have.
yeah, his memes are legendary. But that's my point. There's a lot of people like this that Becca, for example, you know, what she's doing is absolutely incredible. It's funny. Some people don't get it. I mean, for me, I think it's hilarious.
I love it.
Like she exposes things that I didn't even know. She creates a lot of the drama as just to be funny. But like these are such creative like things and there's no love and all. So she'll post it on Wednesday and by Friday or maybe by the next Monday, it's forgotten. And like, to me, that's a tragedy. There's people who write threads, Bitcoin things in threads. Like we covered it the other day. It was, what's his name? The guy who, hang on, let me find him, breaking down the Wright versus McCormick McCormick judgment with security.
Oh,
That
Arthur.
guy.
Arthur Van Pelt.
No, this isn't Arthur. This is another guy, but Arthur's another one. But he's another one that I want to do this with as well. But they write these incredible threads, and then they just live in their Twitter feed. So what we're doing is we're taking those threads, making an article about it, putting it on Pleb Underground, blasting it out to our newsletter, you know, list of emails, as well as putting it on the site, and then using all of our collective to get the word out. So like, my point is we're aggregating all of this really cool, you know, content. And with that said, it's living on Pleb Underground, and it's amazing. Like, people are loving it. And I don't know, man. And we have a lot of ideas. And if anything, I think the most important thing for me, and I think in talking with Phil, like, it isn't about the money. It's actually about giving the love out, like giving, like even you, Walton, like what you're doing with the Council of Autism, to me, that's so cool. Like, you know, I've logged in a couple times because I can't do spaces, because you just have my baby just like screaming, or my wife saying, what are you doing? So like, spaces are really tough for me, but I've done a few of them, and there's such a whole little world that goes on in spaces. And like, that needs to be explored, because to me, like, that's real signal. That's real people. That isn't a marketing pitch in there. I mean, obviously,
the once again, there is, you know, there are a bunch of spaces that are, you know, recorded and then put
right.
out.
I was going
to
say,
like,
don't
whether
get me
anyone
wrong.
Listens to them or not. Like, if you record a space, it changes the dynamic. The council will never record it, never plan to, because there's enough things where people are on their best behavior and trying to kind of cultivate an impression and just come hang out, talk Bitcoin, you know, shout fuck shit coins a bunch of times, like, you know, fight with plebs. Build or tweet about building, like just be a pleb and try and one of the best things I did, other than buying Bitcoin, since I've bought Bitcoin, that has increased my bullishness about Bitcoin, has been Bitcoiners. And the more I get into like Bitcoiner culture, you see just all the great stuff that's being built, and it should be celebrated. And that's what Pleb Underground is about.
No, you hit the nail on the head. And what you just said, though, is I've realized, like, so I see a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people come in this game. They get a good following, and then they're like, I'm going to do a podcast. And then the next thing you know, they're in bed with like some corporate, you know, shitcoin exchange or whatever, because that's what their incentive is like, they're tired of their fiat job and they want to do this. And so that's, they lose sight of what it's really about. And so for us, and I really believe for me personally, I enjoy giving people shine. Like, there's a certain feeling I get. I get excited for that. Like, and most importantly, like, I've interviewed some of the biggest names in Bitcoin. When I worked at Hacker Noon, I could be like, hey, do you want to do an interview with me? And they'd be like, yes. And I mean, and I would do an interview with them, but those people weren't as appreciative. Whereas if I do like a pleb, like, that pleb is so, like, an average person, number one, they're speaking from the heart, which is genuine. Number two, like, they appreciate that they're even, like, I'm giving them the time, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you're the real deal. And so, like, for me, all we've done is taking what I've learned from doing Bear Market Diary and Savage Bitcoiner interviews with regular people, and now we're bringing it to a level where we're just inviting in everyone's content. And so, for example, that article with Fractal Encrypt, I was like, I tweeted it out, and I was talking with him today, and I was like, dude, like, this is incredible. Like, this is an amazing, like, piece that you did. And like, I feel like humbled just to even put it on the site. And yeah, it's not for everybody, but it needs to be there. Like, and he's like, I don't know, man. I was thinking it might be just a little too much. And I'm like, no, man, we need more of this. And so, and he was so humbled that he was appreciated. And Becca is the same way. You're the same way. All of the writers, you know, Elsie Hoddle, Frito, and people are coming out of the woodwork to like give us content saying, hey, you can run my stuff. And we're like, cool, we will give you love. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is giving that love and giving people shine, the feeling of that and like the thank yous and the mutual appreciation of that is what makes this, that's something money can't buy. And that's something that for me, that's my incentive. Like that, I want to feel that every day. Like if I could feel that love, like, you know what I'm talking about? When when you do something nice for someone and they're doing something nice for you and you're just happy, like I just believe in like cherishing those moments. And I feel like that's what's lost in Bitcoin. I feel like it's like so many people are just like the plan B, just all fucking buy my trading program or here's my affiliate link for Swan and here's, you know, like, and I'm not shitting that that's bad. People got to eat, you know what I mean? Or Breedlove, oh, I'm going to shill BitClout and now I'm going to triple down on it. And now I'm just going to talk about Bitcoin and move on to a whole new group of noobs who didn't know my past, you know, and be taken seriously and I'll fleece them. There's so many people that we call them noob milkers or noob fleecers. And, you know, even Peter McCormick, I mean, dude, I don't really think that dude loves Bitcoin. He just loves that he's created one of the biggest podcasts. He's a marketing genius and he loves that he's created a job for himself and he really thinks he's super important. Well, guess what? We're going to make all the pleb podcasts bigger. We're going to bring more views to every pleb that's creating content and that gives it to us. So if you're out there and you're someone you've thought about writing or you've written something and you're a little insecure to put it out there or you got cool ideas, like, dude, send us your shit. Like, talk to us. Like, we want to amplify each other. Like, you know, I can't say that you're going to love everything that we do. And if we offend you, then that's great. But the one thing, because honestly, we don't care. Like, we don't want to censor anybody. Like, I mean, there's certain, okay, maybe no scat memes on the site. Okay. But I mean, within reason, the goal is it's all about
There's
Bitcoin
the
on
shit, and then
different
there's the shit, right?
That's
right.
right.
There's the shit. But like meme compilations, so we have every memer. Not every memer, but we have most of the big meme crews, as well as even these little independent people who just spin off good stuff. We have so many people just scouring for good memes, and we have a Telegram chat where they just pop them in there. And like, so we were doing top five. We're not doing top five anymore. We're just doing meme compilation of the week because there's so much good shit. We're not even ranking them anymore because it's like, and quite honestly, like that stuff, I know it sounds stupid and petty, but everybody loves it. Like I can tell, like people love it. And remember, we're gonna get copied, and that's, I mean, hopefully we don't. Hopefully people, and if they do try to copy us, you know, someone will shit on them. But that's us, dude. Like we're doing this for fucking the plebs. We're doing it for the memers. We're doing it for the independent podcasters. But on another note too, I want to give respect to the marketing or the big podcasts that do a good job. Like I don't mind, you know, giving them love. The right people deserve love. I'm just not going to give love to, I don't think, I don't want to say me, but I know for me personally, I do not want to give love to corporate shills and corporate marketers. But like, you know, Matt Odell, he does Citadel Dispatch. That is an incredible podcast. We'll be definitely covering that. Marty and Matt, you know, Tales of the Crypt. I listened to that for years and I like Marty. He's a great guy, you know. I'm not gonna do full like press releases for every show of them, but I'm gonna find their best shows and I'm gonna do something to where I can get those people listening to those shows because we need to be plebs. Plebs are the filter, meaning when I need to know something, where to buy Bitcoin, hey guys, where are you buying Bitcoin? I've got like 10 people who have hardworking jobs or hardworking people who have, you know, jobs who are just like me, trying to find the best stuff. And then I listen. I'm like, oh, you go there, you go. I don't have like, you know, Peter McCormick telling me to buy from XYZ exchange and use this affiliate code because of this reason. You know what I mean? Like, that's just shady. And so anyway, I really think that's what Pleb Underground is. I feel very honored and I feel very humbled to have the friends that I've met. You guys, of course, and others in the collective and others that are just need to be added to the names of on the list. But like I feel humbled to have this much support. And I just really want to keep this going and keep it entertaining and most importantly, not take ourselves too serious. Be serious, but not take ourselves too serious and have fun. And most importantly, spread the love. Like I want to be able to send my family and friends a website and be like, check this out. And I won't even tell them it's mine, but like there's some legit content on there. Like this is what Bitcoin is to me. And that's it. And so, and if you guys have questions, I'm more than happy to answer.
So there you have it. I mean, unfortunately, this episode has gone on significantly longer than we had expected.
I was thinking the same thing.
So you gave a great description for the Pleb Underground. For the people who want to contribute, check us out at plebunderground.com. If you're going to go and if you're going to hop into a Spaces, don't forget to check out the Bitcoin Council of Autism. Walton, what's the schedule on that? When do you do that?
It's not really a schedule. Basically, like, we all have lives, right? And like, I love all of you, but I'd rather spend time with my girlfriend. So like, when I don't have social plans, like, then I might host one. They usually, I don't know, two, three times a week. I might host for like 3-4 hours at a time. But there's a bunch of us like the host them. Uncle Jim, just honest hodl, right, honest. Right. Fuck's sake, honest hodl. That's for some reason a tongue twister. Because anyway. One H is silent, one's not. Anyway, who else? Meditation at meditation_man TC, my boy, Shinobi, Brian Trolls. We got a few hosts, and of course, there's a bunch of us. But like, yeah, just follow the Bit Council. You'll see all the spaces.
Awesome. Okay, so look, we're gonna put your contact details in the show notes. Obviously, Pirate, we are gonna put your contact details in the show notes along with the plebunderground.com link, so everybody can check it out. And the people who want to subscribe. So look, this was the first episode of Pleb Underground. We thank you very much for joining us, and we hope to see you on the next episode. It's gonna take place next week.